The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he had said, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him, and he said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where do you live?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." And so they went and saw where Jesus was staying, and they stayed with him all of that day. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. And they brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Kephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. The text we have for our Gospel reading today comes from the opening chapter of the Gospel of John. And curiously enough, it's the manner in which John, distinctly and separate from the other Gospels, remembers the first encounter with Peter and Andrew and the Messianic Jesus. The other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, will tell us about the time Jesus went by the Sea of Galilee and he saw the fishermen in their boat and he called them. It doesn't quite fit this, but Raymond Brown, no less than Raymond Brown, suggests that this encounter with Jesus here in John's Gospel is their identifying Jesus as Messiah. The call which appears in the other three Gospels is a call to mission. And that's the manner in which Raymond Brown and some others begin to reconcile the difference between John's Gospel, the first encounter that Andrew and Peter have with Jesus, is somewhat different, quite different, than that which appears in the other Gospels. Let me set the scene so that maybe we'll summon out of this some teaching that might fit the present moment. You have two disciples. Later on, one is named Andrew. They're followers of John the Baptist. They're disciples of John the Baptist. They're among the many who go out into the desert because somehow in their lives they have seen a need for repentance, a need for change. They're seekers, and therefore they have already become disciples of John the Baptist. And while they're with John, he points out to Jesus, "There is the Lamb of God. He is the one you should be following." And so they follow Jesus. And the first words that come from Jesus in the Gospel of John are a question. "What are you looking for?" And their reply is also a question. "Where do you live?" And Jesus says, "Come and see." And they come and they dwell with Jesus. Now, the Gospel of John always have a deeper meaning, a secondary, more profound meaning. When they spend time with Jesus where he dwelled, it implies communing with Jesus, a certain connection, a prolonged period in the company of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Whatever their encounter involved, they identify Jesus as the one who was to come. And now they go to Peter and say, "We have found the Messiah." And they bring Peter to Jesus. That's essentially the text, the scene from which we are to draw a teaching for today. So what does this mean to us in our community today? I reflected on this, and I was invited in my reflections to go back and to read much of what I read in my last incarnation a long time ago. And that was the legends of the 12th and 13th century about the search for the Holy Grail. Much is written on this. There are many versions of it. Way back in the 12th and 13th century, the Arthurian legends, King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, all these searching for the Holy Grail, right up to Indiana Jones searching for the Grail. The Grail is sometimes described as the chalice, the cup that Jesus used at the Last Supper, and also it is said in the legend, in the myth, that after Jesus was crucified, Joseph of Arimathea had the cup from the Last Supper and collected the blood of Jesus, the crucified Jesus. And therefore, it was meant to be a symbol. When you find the Grail, you are united with God. I mean, a profound experience of unity with all which is divine. And that's why the Holy Grail becomes the search for life. It's a life search. We're all searching for the Holy Grail in some way. And in one of the legends, Parsifal, there is this story about the king. And this king is named Amfortas. And Amfortas has a deep wound. He was in a joust in a moment of chivalry, and he was wounded. He was so wounded, it is said discreetly, that a spear went through his thigh. But in fact, it was his genitals that were wounded by the spear, which is an important part of the story, because when he was emasculated, he lost his identity. He lost his power. In the myth, he lost his power. He lost value in his life. And he's called the Fisher King because all he could do was sit on a boat and fish. He couldn't stand. And in his infirmity, his kingdom went into ruins. And then we're introduced to this young knight, ambitious knight, named Parsifal. And Parsifal sets out, his life mission will be to heal the king. So he goes to the castle, and instead of confronting the king in his illness and in his infirmity, he is overcome by the pageantry of the palace. And therefore, overcome with this and led by ambition and self-interest, he does not confront the king. And for this, he is consigned to the wilderness, goes through a crisis in conscience, and he goes through a whole search for the meaning of his life, a crisis in his faith. In due time, he falls in love and he marries, and through love, through a profound experience of love, he regains the inner strength of his life. He goes back to the palace and he confronts the king. And the question he has to ask is, what ails you? Face your wound. And he asks the king, what ails you? And the healing begins to happen because the king faces his wound and the whole place begins to flourish in the kingdom. is prosperous again and the healing happens. The teaching of this is, until we confront the wound, we cannot begin the healing. And when you look at the life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus, you will find the only ones that came to him looking for healing were those who had faced their wound, the lepers, the outcasts, the sinners, the lost, those who were rejected in society. They are the ones who came to Jesus because they saw their wound and they came for healing and for a search for new life. Therefore, until we face the wound, we cannot begin the healing. And herein comes part of our crisis today. Now, when these two disciples come to Jesus and say, and he asks them, what are you looking for? What are you seeking? They could have said, well, I have a problem with my wife or with my children or with my neighbors. But no, it was something inside of themselves, in each of them. They were dealing with some kind of failure or crisis, some conflict inside of themselves. And Jesus says, come and see. And they go through a transformation. In our culture today, our tendency is to find the fault in somebody else. And all of the crisis somehow that we're facing today comes from something deep inside ourselves. Anger, violence, injustice, lies, all of this comes from somewhere deep inside of us. It's a spiritual crisis. It's a spiritual conflict. It's something to do with character. It's something to do with the integrity of an inner person. And it finds expression in violence and in judgment and in rejection of other people, in invoking lies or injustices. This is born from inside of us. Sin divides. The sin of greed, the sin of demand, the sin of must-winning, this somehow starts inside of us. Sin divides. And we will only come together when we face the inner conflicts which we have. When we hear the voice of Jesus saying, what are you looking for? Where is your conflict? Where is the crisis inside of you? And hear the voice of Jesus, come and see where I live. Until this happens to each of us, it's not somebody else. It happens to me, and it happens to you, that somewhere we have to come to terms with the conflict which is deep inside of us. It's a spiritual crisis. And unless we do inner transformation, the community will suffer. It will suffer from the inner conflicts and the crisis which we express publicly, but somehow it's born from somewhere deep inside of us. Now, on Tuesday evening here at Holy Family, we will have a mass for reconciliation, a mass for our country on the vigil of the inauguration. We'll pray for our president, for President Trump, and we'll pray for our president-elect. We'll pray for our country. We'll pray for our people. We'll pray for ourselves, that somehow we will be drawn to a conversion as true disciples of Jesus Christ. See, until we come to that, searching deep inside of ourselves, until we come to that, we're going to be caught in conflict, in fear, in anxiety. We're searching for external solutions, power, success, money, all of these things will not begin to touch the inner crisis which each and every one of us shares. I have said, I think, in a homily previously that some time ago I went on retreat, and quite by an accident, a blessing of divine providence, there was a priest at the retreat house, and in my conversation with him, I said, I'd like to make a confession. He said, yes, of course. So I sat down with him for a length of time. I went back through my life. I made a general confession of my life. All of the infirmities, the struggles, the failures, the sins, everything that made up the story of my life. And he blessed me, and he shared the story of his life with me and how we share a common humanity. And in the kindness and the understanding of the moment in the sacrament of reconciliation, he blessed me with the sacrament. And when he had finished, he said, "Welcome home." And I felt I was at home in the house of Jesus Christ, a house of peace. So where do we go in praying for our country? We begin by praying for ourselves, something deep inside of us, a grace which we desperately need to be gracious, to be kind, to be generous, to be understanding, to be forgiving, to look for a new hope and a new world and the power of Jesus Christ, something that will not be solved by anything external to us. It's a prayer. It's a hope. It's a dream given only to those who have faith. So I bless you and I invite you to summon these days as times of opportunity, times to search for something deep inside of us which we have not searched for before, a faith, a goodness, a kindness, a generosity. When the king Anfortas is willing to face the question, what ails him, he comes down from his high position, from the presumption of being in charge and being a person of importance, and he becomes humble to face his inner self. Keep that in mind. Come pray with us on Tuesday evening so that somehow we will find deep inside of ourselves the invitation of Jesus Christ. Where do you live? And we'll hear Jesus Christ saying to each and every one of us, come and see. And we look for a new world, a new hope, a new possibility, something spiritual. We look for a spiritual rebirth, a rebirth in the power of Jesus Christ. Wow, the possibilities cannot be measured. It's the grace of God that will be the beginning and the sustaining of our great land, the sense of unity in our people, the sense of respect and honor, something coming from deep inside of us. It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus Christ. Let this be a time of prayer and renewed faith. Amen.